Good evening, and thank you for joining us on Cultivated Hearts Radio Ministry. We are here to we are diving into Genesis and Terrorize Bible Study Daybreak right now. And the stuff that you can learn from God's Word is so amazing and powerful and life-breathing.
I love it too.
And I just love how well Tara, she described Jacob's kind of his history, and we did that 2 or 3 weeks ago.
We're on our fourth week.
So if you want to podcast it, just to get a background of what she's talking about and the history of who Jacob is, I think we all have a history.
Yes, we do, don't we?
But God will restore what we have messed up.
Yeah.
If we just humble ourselves.
It's that humility before him. And we're at the point now, we're ending up on Jacob, and we have been through Jacob and his life of deceit, and then now encountering his brother, and all of a sudden he struggled with God all night and he overcame, and suddenly an incredible revelation occurs in his life. An incredible revelation. And I can feel the tears just coming up, because there is nothing like when God gives us a revelation.
Oh,
and where you really, really, really get it. I mean, I'm not talking, you know, an emotional high. I'm talking the kind of thing that makes true spiritual mm-hmm. transformation take place, that literally I take one more step closer to being like Jesus. Because mm-hmm. it's that ever-increasing glory. All of a sudden, it's like a piercing that happens in the soul. I cannot walk away the same I was yesterday as I mm-hmm. am now. And this is where he struggled all night with this man, and he's holding on, and he's like, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. And the man confronts him and says, what's your name? And by answering, Jacob has to recognize he's a deceiver. His name means deceiver. Jacob the deceiver. Jacob the heel catcher. Jacob the birthright stealer. Jacob the blessing stealer. Jacob the, you know, wife, double wife thing. And you can't even imagine all that they went through on that. God help Leah and Rachel. I feel so sorry for them. I can't help them now, but whenever they were there and alive, that's just sad. And then the deceit he did to Laban, and then taking it on, and now he's trying to deceive his brother through gifts. And stuff. And he fights all night long with God. And he says, what's your name? Can you imagine? I mean, you're struggling, you're fighting. He has been physically in the dirt, all over the place, wrestling. And the question that comes when he says, give me a blessing, what's your name? I mean, you just sit there and go, huh?
Yeah.
But it's because the name represents his character. Jacob. You know that it just pierced him. And the man says, your name's no longer Jacob, but Israel, because you've struggled with God and man, and you've overcome. And it's in that moment, he says, tell me your name. Please tell me your name. And the man replies, why do you ask my name? And then he blessed him right there, because he didn't have to tell him his name.
Right.
Because all of a sudden he realizes he had been wrestling with God. I mean, this is huge. And he says, I have seen God face to face. He's been rolling in the dirt with God. And he's like, I've seen him. I have seen him. And he puts a name there, because that's what they would do, is if they had a confrontation and they had an encounter with God, they would right there name the spot, because they don't want to forget what happened. I think we miss out on that. We're not good at that anymore in our lives, and marking those spiritual markers. And I had a leader. It was Nancy Cobb. She used to be the women's director at Christ Community. And I remember 7 years ago in my life, when we first moved here to Omaha, I had just gone to a women's Bible study that she had. And, you know, I've been through seminary. I had my master's in religious education. I've served on church staff and everything. And she just looked at me and she said, have you ever made a timeline of your spiritual moments? I think is how she referred to it. And I just looked at her and I go, well, what do you mean? And she goes, you know, just like a historical timeline. And she said, Tara, God's called you out to be a leader. And I mean, Nancy barely knew me. She barely knew me when she did this. I mean, just barely knew me. But I know this is what she has done to countless women in our city. And she said, you're called out to be a leader. You need to know those markers in your life when God has met you. And she made me do it and then come back and show her my timeline. And I
it's
marked.
A good teacher right
she
there.
She is so good. She is so good. And I was blown away that I had more than I realized in my life that were moments that I know that the moment when that happened, I was not the same person the day before as I was when that happened. That from that moment forward, I changed. And I can see those points in my life. And that's what happened right here with Jacob. He says, this is Penuel and Peniel. There's different ways. I looked it up to make sure because I've seen it written in three different ways. And so I have one written in my Bible and then I have one that I got from, so that's how the Bible says it kind of thing. And so there's three different ways that they have it actually documented by different resources that you could get it. So I think you could be okay saying it any way it comes out. He says, because I have seen God face to face, and yet my life was spared. Don't you know he's thinking on the deceit?
Mm-hmm. And what he deserves.
It makes me cry because I think of different things in my lifetimes when honestly I should have had a lightning bolt just knock me down.
Yes.
God forgive me. And he realizes God has spared him.
He has delivered me.
Yeah. And that word is coming back to, do you remember in his prayer in 32, it was 11, verse 11, he says, save me. Mm-hmm. That word is netzal. This word spared or delivered, depending on your translation, is the same word. The cry was, he said, save me. And in the Hebrew language, the same word came back to him. And that was what he was delivered.
Wow.
So what he cried out, he got the exact answer.
Yes.
And I think it's so neat that in their language, it's the same word. It just has a different meaning in the context of the situation.
Those are the things that you don't find out until you really study.
Yeah.
Not just read. Like yeah. When you study, you can find out.
You have to, I had to go into the language, you know, to do
but,
that.
I mean,
to
look
find
at the treasures that you find when you dig.
I know. I love to dig. Don't you?
I'm asking God for more digging.
For more digging. And I'm asking God to be able to story it because I scare people because I dig.
I think it's amazing what God will teach you when you just spend time with him. Like you said, he just wants you to spend time so he can deliver us.
I know.
Because so many people will read and praise God. And if you're reading, continue to read. But, you know, when you're just kind of reading through it, sometimes you don't know the context, the history. So when you dig, I mean, the stuff that he will teach you right where you're at is amazing.
It's amazing. It is amazing. And that's a great lead-in. I mean, it's perfect, as my friend Mike Badalek would say, segue. I think he was the first person I ever heard use that word, and he used it a lot. And I'm like, I really like that word, segue. I like words.
It sounds like a TV word.
Yeah, that's a good lawyer speaking because he's a lawyer. And so he would know that kind of word. the nine things that I learned from Jacob ended up becoming, and I shared with this the first week we began this series, ended up becoming a profound revelation to me, a spiritual marker in my life. Each of my Bible studies are actually a time where God profoundly changed me and he's taught me something new. And I think this is probably it's my third or fourth time to do Daybreak now by us doing it this time. And I was blown away by the things he was revealing to me as I was studying it this time that I had never caught all the other times before. It's how God works. And the nine things that he revealed to me about in order to get to my Daybreak, I want you to hear these. I want to share them with you and we can dialogue about them, Sabrina. In order to get to my Daybreak, that moment where I get past the dark moment in my struggle and find the blessing, the dawn, the release, I realized that in this situation is that it only occurs when there's no distractions and I find time to get alone with God. He had the struggle with Esau, but it wasn't until he sent both the wives and the children across and he was standing there by himself. So that he had to be where it was quiet, where he could hear from God. and allow himself to be confronted with his heart and his mind, and allow God to speak into that, okay?
Right.
The second thing I noticed is that it's not necessarily easy.
No.
No. In fact, often, in order to get to our daybreak, it does require we struggle and wrestle.
Mm.
Okay? And that means that we're going to struggle and wrestle with man, and we're going to struggle and wrestle with God, because that means there's something that needs to come out of us, and that's not an easy thing. And that in order to get to daybreak, we cannot be afraid of the struggle. We cannot be afraid of the struggle. The third thing that I realize is that it causes us to have walk away being touched. When he's struggling with the man, and before he realizes the man is God, the man touches his hip. He never walks the same again. Scripture tells us he walks with a limp. And I have times in my life where I've struggled, and you'll know I have a limp. Not physically, but you'll know, because I'm not the same person. I don't walk the way I walked before that happened. And that it's going to cause us to be touched.
It will leave a mark.
Yeah, God's going to touch us. And it'll also have, we cannot struggle with God without a self-revelation occurring. He will reveal something to us about ourselves that must be dealt with. For Jacob, it was deceit. And as I went through and I ask people when they do this Bible study to, you know, analyze in themselves, mm-hmm. to think through this, what is it that you, in your beliefs and your attitudes and in your actions and your things of that nature, your thoughts and your opinions, what is it that God reveals to you that you need to have changed? On mine, I wrote down me, my selfishness. At the core, I can be very selfish. And so that was mine. But the awesome thing is that as we are going through this and we deal with the struggle, we're alone with God, we deal with the struggle, we've been touched, a self-revelation occurs, release comes. There's nothing like that moment when you see the light of dawn, you see the revelation of truth, you see the release. It enables us to overcome. That's where overcoming comes. And that's the problem that happens in our lives, is that we think that we can get rid of poor relationships, bad habits, addictions, all these things. We try very much in man's way and trying to overcome them. Overcoming will not come until it has been taken before God in a spirit of humility. The moment we release it to God and the release occurs, we will overcome. We will overcome.
Absolutely.
And that's where often the breakdown happens, is that it's not with God. We try to do man's ways. Good thinking, self-help, and it's weak at best. And there are people that'll make it through with that, but it's not because they're being strong or anything. It's because they've been lucky. But if you want the blessing of true overcoming, to where it's not something that dogs you, deal with it with God.
Mm.
And then the blessing. There will be a blessing. When we are willing to struggle with God and we allow God to do what he has to do, blessing will come. Once we've overcome, we will reap a blessing of the harvest of what we have been through. And then the eighth thing that I found, and this is important because this began with one-on-one alone time with God. But what we have to understand is nothing we encounter when it comes to getting it right with God, when we are alone, will stay there. It cannot remain in isolation. It will impact the community. It will produce a significant change in our life and impact those around us. This morning as I was praying about it, God put it to me in a new way, and I wrote it down this way. I said, time with God alone is for the community as a whole.
I know. I don't think anyone that has been touched by God can be quiet.
Mm-mm.
We're not meant to be quiet.
We're not. It is for the community.
That's right.
We are called into community. And I'm going to say this over and over again because this is a profound truth that I think that we've lost hold of across Christendom in general. Isolationism is dangerous. We will be with God alone in dealing with an issue that needs to be cleansed from us. But once it happens and the touch occurs, it will be to help the community.
Mm.
Now, I want you to think about it. His hip was touched. He walked with a limp. He knew the blessing of being called Israel, the one who overcomes. Yet the nation of Israel to this day will not eat the hip of an animal. The entire nation's diet changed because of what happened to him that day on the Javik River.
Wow.
Yeah.
Legacy.
Yeah. It will impact community.
They will not eat the hip of any animal.
No. That is a part of the change of what God does. When we have encountered God and he has done something in us, the community will be impacted. The community will be impacted. And that brings us to our daybreak. That's where people see it. They'll see the light shining in us.
Wow.
And so those were the principles that God revealed to me. And I read through them and you go, yeah, duh.
No, I wouldn't say it that way.
But really, honestly and truly, you can resonate. Can't you see those in your life in different circumstances you dealt with? And when he revealed that to me, I started applying them to every biblical character and as they dealt with their struggles, and it's in every single one of them. So then I started going back in my life and looking at each time I took that next step with God and looking at it, and I can see every single one of those steps revealed in my life when I have struggled with God and overcome because of what he did in me. And that's the thing, is that we've got to realize that nothing happens to us without God wanting his glory to be revealed. And that's the dawn of daybreak.
That's right. There's nothing that can give glory. I mean, I can't give glory. I can't be a person of glory. Only God. That's amazing to think about that.
Jesus, scripture says Jesus is the light of the world. It says that in heaven we will have no need for light because he will be there. It's literally when we have gone before him and in humility said, I am unworthy, save me. The light of Christ will just be a beacon through us because he is the light. And that's when dawn is revealed and darkness is expelled. To not be focused in on that which is the darkness, but to be focused in on that which is the light. It's an amazing gift that he will bring us through the daybreak. Next week, when we come back, we're going to look at how grasping for God in our struggles will bring a greater revelation to us. And the person we're going to look at is Moses. And we're going to look and see what God did with him at a moment when he saw God through a burning bush. And it's a very familiar passage. What we've done has been a very familiar passage, but we're going to have some really great, rich truths that we can take from this passage as well. We're so glad you've been listening to Cultivating Hearts, and it's been fun walking through the life of Jacob, and in a way, Esau as well, for the last 4 weeks. And if you have any questions, we would love to hear from you. Feel free to email us at tararye.com or cultivatinghearts.org or Open Door Mission. We are thankful to God for the Open Door Mission for sponsoring us.
Yes, thank you,
God. And we thank you, donors, that give to the mission so that you make this possible. God bless.